I decided this morning to continue in my continuing for who knows how long series on the seven assemblies of the book of Revelation. A subheading or title for my talk today might be, You Have Left Your First Love. And when I started thinking about it, I realized it was very ironic that today, on the seventh day Sabbath, which is the 49th day since the sheaf wave offering, after the seventh day Sabbath of the 7-day feast of unleavened bread, I would be discussing on June 14, 2008, part 7 of the series on the seven assemblies of Revelation. And maybe someday we can talk about the significance of the number 7. But today, let us press on in our discussion of the words of Yahshua to John about the seven assemblies in the book of Revelation. If you recall, in this study in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, each assembly receives a word from Yahshua according to a seven-tiered outline that includes 1, a brief greeting to each assembly. 2, a proclamation of a spiritual trait or a royal entitlement of Yahshua. 3, praise for the work that each assembly has done. 4, a criticism of its failings or shortcomings. 5, a warning. And 6, an exhortation. And number 7, a promise to that assembly. So let us begin the discussion of the criticism that Yahshua made to the seven assemblies in Asia Minor. In Revelation 2 and verse 4, after Yahshua says to John, to the assembly of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden menorahs, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. And have labored for my name's sake. And have not become weary. He says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now we're reading out of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. And that last line is the criticism that Yahshua made to John about the assembly at Ephesus. Here, Yahshua is rendering a harsh criticism. The word against in Greek is the word kata, meaning down. It has the same kind of meaning that, say, a bug might utter as it is being squished under your thumb. You have much against me. Joshua's words are not just a disagreement. He is issuing nothing less than a condemnation. You have left your first love. The word left, as in to leave, comes from the Greek word aphiemi, which means to send or put away, to forsake, to lay aside, or in a stricter sense, to abandon. You have abandoned your first love. The word first in the Greek is the Greek word protos, which means foremost in time, place, or order of importance. It means beginning, it means best, chief or chiefest, the first of all, and it means former. First means, in this context, what you used to do. And since Yahshua is speaking to John about recently formed assemblies for the worship of Yahweh in Yahshua's name, by first love, he must be referring to the love they once had for the Father and the Son. you would turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 22, beginning at verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Yahshua said to him, You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He's not saying that there are only two laws. He's saying that these types of ideas, these types of laws, to love Yahweh and to love your neighbor, is what all of the law and all the prophets are about. Is there any doubt that Yahshua's condemnation for the people of the assembly at Ephesus is about their disregard for their falling away, as it were, from obedience to the law of Yahweh, from the unconditional giving in to the will of Yahweh? The word love is the Greek word agape, which means affection, benevolence, or charity, the unconditional giving to others. Turn, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jeremiah 2 and verse 1 begins. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says Yahweh, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to Yahweh, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says Yahweh. Hear the word of Yahweh, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says Yahweh, What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Yahweh, through Jeremiah, is saying that Israel covenanted to love and obey Yahweh at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments. And this was, is, and forever will be the first love when we give ourselves over to the law of Yahweh. And like Israel, the assembly at Ephesus abandoned their first love. They abandoned, essentially, the law of Yahweh. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 19, beginning at verse 3, Exodus 19 and verse 3 reads, And Moses went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Notice that this is not a unilateral covenant. This is a very conditional covenant. And the people of Israel are not necessarily going to be the special people of Yahweh unless they obey the will of Yahweh, unless they obey and abide in the law of Yahweh. It is conditional. Exodus 34 and verse 27. Exodus 34 and 27. Then Yahweh said to Moses, Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. If you would now go to the book of Isaiah and 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, a covenant to the nations, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from that prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Throughout the scriptures, Yahweh repeats this continual, consistent theme. I am righteousness. I will tell you how to worship me. You have agreed to a covenant in which I lead you and you follow me. You will fail because of your own weaknesses, but I will rescue you because of my never-ending love and my commitment. Because of my commitment to you who continue to endure in this life, and seek me and my righteousness. The so-called Old Testament is the history of Yahweh's creation and dealings with his people, Israel. It includes the promises to his people, including the restoration of righteousness through his son, Yahshua. The New Testament is the new beginning, as it were, of this restorative process. Matthew 24 and verse 10. Matthew 24 and 10 says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the what? The love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So Matthew confirms this seemingly never-ending cycle. Might look at it as a wheel, and the hub is love. Eternal love, eternal life is dependent upon this wheel, as it were, continuing to revolve. For when it stops, this hub of love ceases to have utility. The wheel must continue to turn. And it's centered, and it revolves around love. We are to continually keep this wheel spinning through our love of Yahweh and our love for one another. Philippians 1 and verse 9 says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in what? In knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Messiah, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Yahshua the Messiah, to the glory and praise of Yahweh. Now how can anyone not see that love is eternally connected to the study of the word of Yahweh and obedience to his law? That is love. Yahweh is love. And the book of Hebrews confirms that as well. In chapter 6 and verse 9, Hebrews 6 and 9 says, "But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you," yes, "things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For Yahweh is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Through faith and patience, Yahweh is crying out to us, "Wait, wait, don't give up. This is the way it is supposed to be," he's saying to us. "This is my plan. Accept it, that you are imperfect and that you will indeed have trouble in this life. But," Yahweh is saying to us, "know that I love you enough to allow my son to endure the beatings and death that you deserve, so that you might believe that I will fulfill my promises to you." See here, the sacrifice that my son Yahshua has made for you. Understand the depth of my love for you. Hold on. Luke 9 and verse 62 says, "But Yahshua said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh.'" Yahshua is saying, hold on. Hold on to the plow of Yahweh. Once we have placed our hands on that plow, plowing the fields, turning over that which is laid fallow. And in this world we have a lot of fallow fields. Once you've taken hold of that plow to till it, to fertilize it, to seed it, to water it, he's saying, don't let go. Continue to do that. Continue to do your work. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls," how? "In obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again." Now, that word born again, those two words, is the single word in Greek, genao, meaning regenerated. Not generated, not created, but regenerated. "Having been regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, through the word of Elohim, through the law of Yahweh, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away, but the word of Yahweh endures forever." Now this is the word which by the evangel was preached to you. The evangel is out of the law of Yahweh. It's out of the word of Yahweh. So hold on to that evangel plow of Yahweh. Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9, begins. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means to act. So love, and don't act like you're loving, but actually love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. It's honorable to give of ourselves to others. And that's a difficult thing to do, because we are made to survive. We are made to be the one who survives. That's part of our nature. You know, we talk about in this life the survival of the fittest. We look in the jungle. Who are the creatures who survive? The ones who are the fittest. And we have that same survival instinct in us. And anytime we think that we're losing something, that we're going to lose our lives, or if we're going to lose our esteem, if we're going to lose our worth, or our power, or our security, we grab a hold and take. That's the nature of man. We're still in the flesh, and mankind has a difficult time giving up what we need, or what we believe we need to survive in this world. But Yahweh is the one who will protect us, not us. If we rely on our own protection, if we rely on our own survival instincts, we will lose all. Going back to Romans 12. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving who? Serving to Kurio, serving Yahweh. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for their evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Make a space for it to fall into. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Yahweh. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That's out of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21 and 22. But in Romans, and verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Abandoning one's first love certainly means giving up hope and not serving Yahweh. Living in anxiety, neglecting prayer, and taking instead of giving. The first love is the love that was given to us first. the law of Yahweh, given to us that we might live. Yahshua was given to us to bring to fruition Yahweh's promise that He would rescue us, necessitating the sacrifice of Yahweh's Son, Yahshua. The first love is the love we felt in our hearts in gratitude for the gift of the promise of everlasting life, in which we lost our anxiety about our future and took care of the needs of those here and now, in this present world, in this world of darkness. The book of John in chapter 4, and beginning at verse 34. John 4 and 34 reads, Yahshua said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Is Yahshua pointing to us here now as those who are to harvest the first fruits? Perhaps. However, it seems to me that there are many fields yet to plow, and seed, and water, and weed, and harvest, before that last harvest, when Yahshua reveals Himself to all of mankind. Until then, may we keep our hands on the plow of Yahweh's good news. May we keep this work as our first love and never turn back. In the name of Yahshua, hallelujah.